100 different languages. We also are up to date. If you like an app for your Bible on the phone, we have a Gideon app where you can go put the Bible. I was at a church recently where they had an exchange student from Japan, and she had been using that quite a bit to read the Bible in her own language. And, you know, you stop and think about it. I know a lot of us, we go to a motel. I'm like you, probably usually open that door to see if there's a Bible there. And you wonder, well, how do they get there? Well, it's people like us. We've just recently completed our survey of the hotels in our area. We've been blessed in Bristol to be in all of the hotels. Until the last year, we've had some division with some of the owners. We've got two hotels right now that we're praying that they will open back up the door. One of them has taken the Bibles out completely. One of them has put them in the office, and they say that if people ask for them, they can have them. But we're praying that that will happen. The new hotel that just opened, Hotel Bristol, we place Bibles in the rooms there. And you think about that Bible. Well, a lot of people travel, and maybe they don't have their Bible with it. They use it. But there are people that go there. And today I want to share some stories with you, people that I've met. One of the first people that I met when I became a Gideon was a guy by the name of Elliot Osowit. That's an unusual name. You can look him up online and hear his whole story. But Elliot grew up in California. His family was of the Jewish faith, but Elliot was not faithful to the faith. He didn't attend the meetings that they had, and he became an adult and married and got involved in travel work. He would travel with people, take them all around the world, and his job was to provide the entertainment, anything they wanted, and there was no thing out of reach. Unfortunately, that led Elliot into a life of drinking and drugs and prostitution. And his family, meanwhile, when he was off traveling, had kind of fallen apart. He had a daughter that had two children. They were fathers were two different men, and she wasn't married to either one of them. And he had left on a trip. His wife had a bad bout of cancer. She was undergoing radiation and chemotherapy. And when he came home, his trip ended. He'd been gone for 3 months on Christmas Eve. And he says he went up to the door, and they never locked the door. So he went to open the door, and it was locked. He fumbled around in his pickup truck till he could find a key, and he went and put the key in, and the key would not unlock the door. And he soon realized that his wife, and she had every reason to do it, had locked him out of the house. And he said, she told him, she said, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be around here anymore. One daughter had been involved in thievery and embezzlement, and 10 different times Elliot had got her out of jail. But this last time it was for such a huge amount that he couldn't even buy her out, and she had to go to prison. And he said he looked in that door, and he saw his wife. He barely recognized her because all of her hair was gone. Even her eyebrows were gone. And he looked down and saw his two grandchildren, and he says he hardly recognized them. You know how children grow in those early years. And he was just really distraught. And he left from that house and went down to a local motel, and he had the necessary tool with him to end his life that night. And he says he went into that room. He had a little bit of an argument out of the man. The man that owned that hotel was a Christian, and he would not rent a room to a married person that was local. And Elliot explained the circumstances to him, and he allowed him to come in. Well, he went into the hotel, and back in those days, TVs were a lot thicker than they are now. There was an open Bible there on the TV. And Elliot said it kind of offended him that the Bible was there. And he took his hand and swiped the Bible off of the nightstand. The Bible hit the floor, and it opened up. That made him even madder. So he took his foot and kicked the Bible. They had a solid bed frame, and when he hit the frame, it came back out, and it was open. And then he said he reached down out of frustration and picked up the Bible. And this is what amazed me when I talked to him personally. He said that was the first time he had ever touched a Christian Bible. But that Bible was open to John chapter 14, and he looked down and read verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those were some very strange words to this man living in this dysfunctional family. And he said they began to think and pray. Excuse me, I'm dry today. And he said that he knew his wife had been attending a church, and he called that pastor and told him how distraught it was. And the pastor said, well, Elliot, you come over to my house tomorrow, Christmas Day, and we'll talk about it. Elliot says he went over, and the family was getting together, and the pastor told him, he said, pick up that Bible and just start reading in John. And he said, just read it through. And for 3 days, Elliot read that Bible through. And then he went back to church with his wife on Sunday, and they reunited. His family got back together. His daughter got out of prison, paying her time. And the Lord called him to a ministry. And you know, that just amazes all of us. We look at people that they failed at something, or they've done something wrong, and we're through with them. But God sees all the way through to the heart. He doesn't see that sin that they committed, because once they've accepted him, it's as white as snow, and God has just put it away. But as he got called to ministry, he started attending a Bible Institute over here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's called the Fruitland Bible Institute. And he became a pastor, and his wife worked as a nurse during that time. They started a church over in Jefferson, North Carolina. I've been at that church. It's been amazing. But they started a ministry. Elliot was 47 years old when he got saved. And they took those 2 years, 4 and 7, and decided they were going to reach kids of that age in that county. And they did just a tremendous work bringing those kids out. And Elliot served the Lord as that pastor there at that church for 29 years. And now he works with the Franklin Graham Institute over there doing travels around the world. But you can see the amazement there of how some person gave $5, is what these Bibles cost. Some faithful Gideon made sure that it was out in that room, and it was there when this person was at his worst need for him to read it. And then he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and his whole family was made whole. Praise the Lord for a testimony like that. And they multiply over and over. The first Bibles we placed were in Iron Mountain and Michigan. And they soon, just in a little bit, got a letter from a man that said he went there he had poison, and he was going to end his life. And he saw that book, and he opened the window and threw the poison out and accepted Jesus as his Savior. People have been called into being a Gideon or being a minister, different things through this. We have a key verse that we like to use, and I know you've heard it and you've quoted it. It's out of Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Do you believe this book is true? It's just as true now as it was when it was written. And this book is alive and has the power to save lives. So what we do is try to get them in the highways of life where people are traveling. We also hand out Bibles in the hospitals. We just recently completed going through the Bristol Hospital. We go out there for 4 hours, 2 hours with one shift that's leaving, 2 hours with one that's coming on, and we hand out Bibles to nurses, people that come by, put them in the rooms. And this last time that we did it, we handed out Bibles over an oncology lab. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, I really love the stories of where we hand them out in these countries where people don't have enough money to afford a Bible. But you would think in an area like ours, everybody's got a Bible. But the very next day, I got an email from one of the chaplain assistants at the hospital. And she was telling me how they'd handed a Bible to a man from Grundy, Virginia, and said he was just so excited that he had never had his own personal copy of the Word of God. So we hand them out there to reach people over and over. We hand out Bibles in schools. Now, in some areas, our distribution is limited. But right now in Sullivan County, they still let us put out Bibles in the school. We go into the 4th and 5th grades and hand them out. We have a wonderful testimony down in Piney Flats where they let us come and give Bibles to the Christian athletes. The last time they meet, it's on a Friday morning in May. And we handed them out a few years ago, and the principal down there, assistant principal, Hank Hare, he actually got saved by reading the Gideon New Testament. He was in, played basketball, and he was in Arizona. They were getting ready to get on a bus, and he saw these strange men in suits down there, and he first thought it was the law because he thought maybe his team had done something wrong. And he said when he looked, they were handing out these little books. And he took one of those little books, and it's just a little New Testament that we hand out. And he said, well, I'm getting ready to get on this bus for a long time. I'll need something to read. So he read that book. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. Hank was telling me that he's taking his family back out there to Arizona where he went to college and showed them the very rock where he would go to meditate and be with the Lord. That town had two churches. He didn't feel welcome in either one of them. So while he was in school, he read that Bible out on that rock. Both of his children have accepted the Lord. And Hank goes around just like I do, telling people about how he was saved by reading one of these Gideon New Testaments. I went to hear Hank speak at a local church a couple of years ago. I took a friend with me. It's a basketball coach. I was thinking maybe she would have Hank come and speak to the basketball team. But just telling his story that day of how he got saved by reading that little New Testament, I was sitting here about the third pew back, and they gave the invitation, and a little boy back in the back, a little girl over in the other back, got up, come down, and accepted Jesus as your Savior. Isn't that a powerful word of God that people just telling about reading the book and accepting Jesus, they can get saved? We had a fellow come to our church one night. He had grown up down in the Bahamas, and they were of the Hindu faith. And he said one time they came and handed out Bibles in the area where he went to school. And he was afraid to let his family see that because in the Hindu faith, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, they reject you. They get rid of you. But as he began reading that book, the truth, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Well, he went to his father, and his father was a very wise man. And his father didn't kick him out. He said, let me see that book. And his father began reading that book, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And now today, that whole generation, his uncles, they all accepted the Lord. His name is Indar Singh, and he serves the Lord in a church down in Columbia, South Carolina. The church is so big, they have three different meeting places, and he and his wife are in charge of their mission program, and they go into different countries telling people about Jesus. This book is alive. I'm telling you, it has a power to change lives. We also hand out Bibles in doctors and dentist office. If you go in there and you see one, it's placed by us, and about every one of them around here will have us do that. We handed out Bibles one year in the doctor's and dentist's office, and a lot of that's done by the wives of the Gideons. They're called the auxiliary. And we had a meeting that night, and we began talking about their day's work and how people had welcomed them to bring the Bibles in. And they said, yeah, every dentist office in town let us put the Bible in their office but one. And I said, who was that? And they gave the name. And that person had been my dentist for years, and I was so ashamed. And I knew that she wasn't going to change her mind, so I went and got another dentist. And we made our appointment for my wife and me to have her teeth cleaned, and as it worked out, my wife went first. And she began talking to the dentist, and she told him why we were there. She said, we believe in the Word of God. We believe in getting copies of the Word of God in people's hands. And when that didn't happen, we decided to come here. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about the Gideons. I've heard about it. What do you do to become a Gideon? And she began telling him my husband's going to be here right after me, and he's a Gideon. He'll explain to you if you're a business person, which you are, and you belong to a church, and your pastor will give a recommendation, you can become a Gideon. He became a Gideon, and he's one of our faithful Gideons to this day. We have another dentist that's in the ministry in this area. We have about 100 Gideons in this area. Of course, it's like I know a lot of churches, they say we've got so many members, FBI couldn't find some of them. And that's the same way with us. A lot of our guys are getting older, but we have a prayer meeting every week. And like yesterday, we had our prayer meeting, and we prayed for your church and your pastor. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and talk to you about. I'll be hanging around afterwards. If you have any questions about the Gideons, I'll be glad to answer it. Tell you a little bit more about our distributions. We also do personal witnessing, testimony. Every Gideon you see, he's got an emblem on his coat that shows a Gideon symbol. And then, like, I wear a shirt. Last time I spoke for the Gideons, I went out to eat afterwards, and the guy waiting their tables, he said, "What's a Gideon?" And we're open to explain to them what we do. And, of course, it's like anything. We're misunderstood at times. But we love putting the Word of God in the highways of life where people are. And I'll tell you a little bit about the way we operate. When you're a Gideon, you pay a dues every year. And we have 300,000 Gideons around the world in auxiliary. And when that money comes into the treasury, that money goes to pay all the expenses. It pays for our office that we have, our national headquarters. I've been able to visit there. It's down in Nashville, Tennessee. All the people that work there, we pay all the salaries. Then when we go to church and someone gives us a check for the Gideons, 100% of that money goes to purchase Bibles. That'll change lives. And down through the years, we kind of shake out. About a third of our money comes from the Gideons themselves that donate to the ministry. A third of it comes from churches that donate. Either at times we come and make a presentation, or a lot of churches donate to us monthly. And the other third comes from something we call the Gideon Card Program. If you have a death of someone that's in your friendship circle or family, you can give a card and donate Bibles in memory of that person. You can also donate cards in honor of someone. You can do that at our websites, gideons.org. Or maybe down the road, Pastor, be okay, we'll be glad to bring you a rack down here to give you. We had a Gideon up in toward Williamsburg, Virginia, and he was active in the ministry. His mother was a Christian, but he said she never did much outreach. She kind of took care of the family, and all the family were very active. They owned a funeral home. And he said that in the funeral home, they see so much waste of flowers that are given, and they just last for a few days. So when they put the announcement in the paper, he said, "If you want to remember my mother, donate Bibles." And hundreds of Bibles were given in honor and memory of this dear one that went on. And I'll never forget him telling us about it at a banquet that we had. He said, "You know, Mother never did much to touch people's lives, to witness to them personally or to give them a Bible. But in her death, all these Bibles have been donated." We know that a Bible in a hotel has about a 6-year life. It has a chance of about 2,300 people seeing that Bible. So it's a rich investment that someone could make and see that happen. There are so many stories. We'd like to come back maybe once a year and update you on some things that are going. We got a great ministry in New York City after 9/11. We go up there every year and hand out Bibles. We had a fellow from Kingsport. He's a friend of mine. He participated in that. We call it a Bible Blitz. We get in there and hit all these people and give them these Bibles. And he said that as he was getting ready to go one morning, he always packed a couple of Bibles in his pockets, and they were going to a nursing home. And this particular nursing home was right in New York City. He said it was about 12 stories tall. And they had already given out in the schools and colleges to the police officers, the firemen. And this day was a nursing home. And he said when he got up on the 7th floor, the lady said, "I would really appreciate it if y'all would go down the end of the hall here to this lady down there on the right. She's been wanting a Bible." And he went down there, and the woman spoke Russian, no English, just Russian. And he remembered. You know, we don't believe in that word coincidence. It was by the providence of God that he had that Russian testament in his pocket. And he said he handed that Russian Testament to that lady, and she opened it and realized what it was. And he said she started crying. And of course, he started crying. She said, "I've prayed for 7 years to get a Bible in my own language, and now you've done it." Wouldn't you like to be the person that donated that money to buy that Bible? And then, of course, this faithful Gideon that handed it out. We all are ambassadors for Christ. It's our job to tell people about Jesus. They should see Jesus in us. I have a friend up in Floyd, Virginia. His wife passed away, and he retired from work, and he's got a lot of time. So although he's a volunteer, I call him a full-time Gideon. He takes trips wherever he can. And when you go on these trips, they pay their own expenses. And he was assigned to do a trip down in South America. And he said that he had no knowledge of the Spanish language at all, but he had some Spanish testaments. We give out testaments that have the English and Spanish to people that are learning the language. But he said on the plane trip, it's 4 hours, he took a New Testament that was in Spanish. And sure enough, he got assigned to his seat, and he sat down, and the man beside of him could only speak Spanish, no English. And he said, he just sat there and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, I want to communicate with this man. Will you just help me to communicate with him?" So he said he picked that New Testament out of his pocket, and he just kind of pointed to it. He showed it to the man, and he said the man kind of shook his head, and he kind of made a motion, "Would you like to have it?" And the man said, "Yes, he'd like to have it." So he handed the New Testament to the man. And in the front of these Bibles we hand out, there's a place for people to put their name. And it just says presented to, and a lot of people put the date that they got it. And then he said that man read for the whole 4 hours in that Bible. In the back of the book, we have the plan of salvation. And he said, he kind of pointed that out to the man. And he said toward the end of the trip, before the plane landed, he saw the man read the plan of salvation. And then there's a place to sign your name when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So in the front tells who the book belongs to. The back tells who you belong to. And that man accepted Jesus Christ on that flight that day because of that little testament that my friend handed to him. Praise the Lord. I talk to these guys all the time that go over into foreign countries and they hand out Bibles. And they say that they go to the schools, and the schools are so glad to see him because they can't afford books. And he said that they will take that book and teach the children how to read. Isn't that a marvelous idea? Maybe we ought to incorporate that in our country. But he says sometimes that little testament will have 10 different children's names. That one little book has been a tool to learn to read and has brought salvation to 10 different children. Praise the Lord. We hand out Bibles at a rate of 2.7 per second around the world. Just think of that. Every time you snap your fingers, 2.7 people get a word of God. They tell me in a lot of the foreign countries when they hand out Bibles, the average income for that family might be $750 for a year. There's no way in the world they could ever afford the luxury of buying a Bible, and we're there to provide it. And they say a lot of times they will take that book and they'll tear it. Sounds awful, tear up that book, but they'll tear it into four different sections so that each one of them can have a section of the Bible to read. And in our country, sometimes I've handed out Bibles at Tennessee High School, and we've seen the kids just throw them down. And that's heartbreaking, but we know that not all people are going to be saved. We heard a testimony over in Russia where they gave out a Bible in a hospital, and a man got so mad that back then the windows opened. They don't anymore. He opened the window, and he slung it out, and it landed on a roof. A man coming by saw that book. He went and got a ladder and climbed up on that roof and got that book and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I tell you, there's no limit to the power of God and the things that he will do to see people saved. I hope that you'll pray for our ministry. We pray for you. Pray that doors will keep open. One last little testimony I like to always give is in jail. We have a tremendous amount of people accepting Jesus in jail. I've done lessons down there, and sometimes they're a captive audience, and they'll pay attention and accept what you tell them. But at my business one day, I had a guy come by that had been in my class. And the first few times he came, he wouldn't pay attention. He was actually disruptive. But the light went off, and he accepted Jesus. And now he's very active in the church. And that day, he was there asking me to put up a poster inviting people to his church. So when you see this transformation in people's life, it's amazing. But I heard one years ago of a guy who was in jail. His name was John. And back in this particular jail, they had tobacco. They're not supposed to have that in jails. But they learned how that they could tear the pages out of that little book. And they could roll that tobacco up and smoke it. And this guy had done that several times. And he actually used up Matthew, Mark, Luke. And he came to John. He said, you know, that's my name. Maybe there's a message here for me. So before he would smoke up that, he would read it. And, of course, you know, when he got to John 3:16, he read that and accepted Jesus as Savior. I wish sometimes I could have him come with me and tell you his testimony. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, I smoked the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when I got to John, the Lord saved me. And now I'm a different person. Praise God. Thank you for your attentiveness and, Pastor, for the invitation. God bless you. If there's anything I can answer, just come and see me and keep praying for us. We'll continue to hand out. But God's grace and enablement, 2.7 copies of the Word of God every second. God bless you, church.